thought the Lord put on my heart today is Jesus, our example, the epitome of humility. And so I want us to look at I looked up some definitions, and of course, humility is not proud or arrogant, modest. And it's some of the synonyms, meek, lowly, low in rank, yes. Importance, yes. Status, quality. When we listen, we read the word, Jesus tells people, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. Jesus was the Son of God. Yes. He came down. And one scripture said he thought not robbery to be equal with God. He was.
Yes.
He had all the splendor that he came. And yet he came to this world in the most lowly estate.
That's right. Yes.
Most lowly. Yes. So, you know, some of us may have some lowly estates. But no one can go to the depths that Jesus did. And he set that example for us. When we talk about epitome, we're talking about the typical or highest example of a stated quality as shown by a particular person or thing. It's no way we can even be beyond Jesus. He set the bar. He set the standard of humility. And you know, humility is important, but it's not a natural characteristic of human beings. It's just something we're going to have to get from God to really be humble as we ought to be. One, look at Jesus. Look at all the different examples. So when we study Jesus' life and see the depths or the depths of humility that he had, or the highest level of humility he had, but he wants us to follow him. And not only so, it's going to take humility to go to heaven. We will not get there. Pride will not get us into heaven. So if we really want to go to heaven, then we need to look at the example that Jesus set and pattern our lives by it. Let's go to Philippians 2:4-8. I need somebody to read for me. I don't know about you, but it seems like on a daily basis, the Lord is working with me on humility. On a daily basis. You'll be surprised how many areas that the enemy tries to throw pride at us in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our heart. And we have to fight this thing like we're fighting for our lives.
That's right.
Because it will take us down. Do you know the people that are not saved today, if you would examine them, you can see some pride in one way or another most times. A lot of times the reason they're not saved anymore is because maybe they got offended. And you know what? What happens when we get offended? We think of ourselves, don't we?
Yes.
They had no business talking to me like that. Yes. Me. I. Because who am I? I'm somebody. I'm special. I just don't take those kind of things from nobody. All of these is the way pride works, and you don't hardly realize it. You can... You know what? Somebody can tell you. You know what? I really like that cake you made. It's the best chocolate cake I ever tasted. And if you don't watch yourself, a little pride will get in there in your mind. I know I can do it. I know it. But God doesn't like that. See, he frowns on that. Jesus did not set that as an example, but that's what we deal with on a daily basis. He said he is meek and lowly, where he said it is, of heart. Humility needs to be in our heart. Do you know something about humility? You can act humble. It can be an action. But it also needs to be a heart thing in our heart. You know, I can take down. Somebody say, I don't like the way you said that. I can say, I'm sorry. I can say it. But then God wants us to have it here that I'm really sorry. Not just saying I'm sorry. I can act. I can do it. But I'm so sorry in my heart that I said something that offended you. I'm sorry that I didn't do this like I should. And I won't do it again. Humility of heart. So humility needs to be in action, and it needs to be in our heart. You know, if it's in our heart, it's going to come out. It's going to be a part of our lifestyle. He wants us to have a humble lifestyle. You know, sometimes you can put on a dress or a suit, and my, you feel you looking good, right? You have to watch that, because pride will get in there. The devil tries every way he can. How do you think he took down Adam and Eve? What he told Eve? He told her, you'll be like gods. Be like gods. What was he, what was he appealing to? The pride, the humanness of wanting to be something special. Y'all pray for me, please. Philippians 2, verses 4 through 8.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For how far? Through 8, I'm sorry. Which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took on himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross.
So you see how he was humble? He was God. He was God. He was the Son of God. He had more authority than the angels. He was above the angels. And yet he humbled himself and became lower than the angels and took on the form of a man, but then a servant. He could have come here and been a king. He could have had royalty. He didn't. And not even the common people. He took on the form of a servant. Can you get any lower than that? I don't think so. And so he didn't even have, one scripture said he didn't have a place to lay his head. Now, how many of us feel that's a low estate? And when he was born, he wasn't even put in a baby bed. He was put in the manger with the animals, that the animals eat out of. Lord, help us to see the humility of Jesus Christ, his standard of humility. So the next time somebody talks down on you and act like you are nothing, take it like Jesus did. They were talking to him, and he answered not a word. It's so much. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, 21 to 24.
Speakings. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How far did you want to go?
To 24. I'm not sure that's the right scripture.
21. Oh, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us,
yes,
leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed.
Do you see how that when he was reviled, he reviled not again? When he suffered, he threatened not. It took humility to do that. It takes humility for people to talk down to us or mistreat us and not threaten. He could have said, I'll call 10,000 of angels. He had the privilege. They were at his disposal. But he chose not to. And we need the same attitude and the same mindset that's set. That scripture said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yes. So we want to have the same mind, a humble mind. I'm nothing. We have to think of ourselves as nothing. And in one of those scriptures, it says, look not on your own things, but look on the other things of others. Instead of me focusing on me and mine and my things and what I have or what I want and all this, look on others. And in one scripture, we'll probably read it, it says, each esteem other better than yourself. It takes humility to think of somebody better than me. You can't do that on our own. But we need to fight against pride that thinks I'm so good and I'm so much and I can't take this and I won't take that. Hebrews 12 and 2.
For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
We want to follow his example.
Yes.
We look to him who did, he despised the shame. It was a shame. When I think of what Jesus went through, the pain that he felt, the shame, maybe just think for a minute, some of the ones that he had been healing saw him be abused. Do you know what kind of shame that feel? I had the power to raise the dead. I had the power to heal the blind. And now it looks like I have no power whatsoever because they're spitting on me. They're putting a robe on me, taking off my clothes. Can you imagine what that feels like when people take your clothes off of you? It's shame. And then putting a crown of thorn on him and blood coming out. All of these things, he suffered pain and shame. But it was his humility that allowed him to do it. He could not do it in this flesh. We cannot suffer those kind of things. When people maybe looked up to you and now they looking down on you, talking about you, spitting on you. Who knows, some of those people might have been some that he preached to and he taught. And now they're maybe on the other side with the crowd. And then even Peter cursing and saying he doesn't know him. And he looked and, is that you, Peter? I knew you would do it, but are you really doing this? Are you denying me? You said you would go all the way. You were like my right-hand buddy.
Yes.
You was taken up for me. You even took a sword and tried to cut off the high priest's servant's ear. The shame. But yet he despised the shame for our sake.
Yes, he did.
And so it takes humility for him to be able to do that. We don't know what we're going to face, saints. We may, some of us, face great tribulations like that. Would you know what it would feel like to stand before them and they're ready to cut off your head or they're ready to call you whatever? We may face some of these things, but if we do not get to this level of humility, we will not. We don't want to deny the Lord. I don't want to deny the Lord. I don't know what I'll face, but I want to be true,
yes,
no matter what.
Yes.
But it's only going to take it through being humble like Jesus was. Now, I want us to look at one of the examples of the level of humility that Jesus exhibited. Let's go to John 13 and read verse 2 to 16.
At supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do now, do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him.
You see, he went to the depths of humility.
Yes, he did.
He was Master and Lord. And yet, he did the servant's job.
Yes.
Can we serve one another like this? You know, when we have feet washing, it should just resonate in us. I am partaking of the humility that Jesus did. He did it. He set that example for us to do it. And it should be a blessing. And I notice that when we have feet washing, we all feel blessed. I know I do. To be able to just do a little something to serve my sister and the brothers, my brother, in this lowly estate. You know, the world doesn't look on humility as anything valuable. It doesn't see, it doesn't. But the Lord looks on it, and he loves it. We are partaking of the divine nature of God, and when we do, we desire to be humble before his presence. And so this is a wonderful, it's a wonderful thing to be able to wash our brother's feet, amen, our sister's feet. Let's go on. I have a scripture that I don't know where I put. So I want someone to get the rich young ruler for me. Okay. I want us to read the beginning of it. I want you to see something here. Just the first few verses.
And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God."
Yes, you see what happened here? He would not even receive the good part of master. He good master. He didn't want him to say that. It's none good but God. Why you call me good? That is the spirit of humility. That's what it is. Where we're not, you know, bathing and enjoying praise. We feel uncomfortable. We feel uncomfortable. You know, you appreciate your sisters and brothers that thank you. You appreciate that. But it still leaves an uncomfortable feeling. I felt what Jesus was feeling many times. You when you get that praise, you want to roll it off on the Lord. What did he say? He said, "It's none good but God." Jesus did this, and he was equal with God. What should we do? Sister, you did this so good. Brother, you did that so good. Well, you can say, "Thank the Lord." But I prefer to say, "It's not me. I can't do it. It's God that does it." If I can say something, it's God, not me. If I could do something, it's God. Roll it off on the Lord. Don't take it. Don't bathe in it. Don't be glory in it. And you know what? Watch the devil's whispers in your ear. Oh, they really like you. They really like what you said. That was good. The devil does that. You put him in his place. I didn't do it. God did it. I can do nothing. Let's read now Colossians 3 and 12.
God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
Yes. Listen to this. Humbleness of mind.
Yes.
We want to have a humble heart, and we want to have humble mind.
Yes.
And so a lot of our battles start in the mind. So that's where we got to fight against pride or arrogance or any such thing. Acts 20 and 19. Put on these things.
Of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews.
This is Paul. He served the Lord with humility of mind. And we need to make this a daily activity, a daily effort, a daily fighting any prideful thoughts and humbling ourselves. You know what? I'll tell you something. We're going to have plenty opportunities to humble ourselves because it's going to be a lot of rubbing your shoulders. It's not going to feel so good. But we need to humble ourselves before the Almighty God. So this will affect our relationship with one another. I want somebody to get that scripture that says, the one that I was saying about not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but then the one that says, thinking of others better than ourselves.
Than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Yes. So we need to keep our thoughts humble. Don't think of ourselves as more. I believe that today, sometimes the reason it's very hard for people to forgive others is they think too much of themselves. You can't. It's hard to forgive others when you think so much of yourself. But if we take this and we humble ourselves and don't think of ourselves so much, so great or so whatever, then when somebody hurts us, we'll be able to forgive them. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to cast it off, and it won't take years and years to do it. Some people I talk to them about humility or forgiving, and they say, well, you can't forgive. It takes God. Yes, it does. But I tell you, we have this, what the scripture says, we won't be holding people. We'll get rid of it much faster than we thought it would. Let's go to Proverbs 29 and 23.
But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit.
So, you know, in the end of this thing, pride will bring us down. But when we humble ourselves and we have that lowly attitude, God will uphold us and he will strengthen us. Now, I'm going to read. Romans 12:9 says, Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is good. Cleave to evil. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. It takes humility to prefer our brother. Maybe, you know, even, I honestly think we can even practice some of this. We go in the store, I'm in a hurry, and I want to get out, but somebody else is coming there and load it down. Can I back off and say, you go first? It's good to develop and to work on taking back and letting the other person go. You know, sometimes we get in a parking. Two people getting ready to go in the parking, it's easy to say, well, I got here for a... Mm-hmm. My husband told me one time, he said he was in a hurry, and he started to park. Another lady was getting ready to park, and he zipped out in there and had her, and he got out, and she said, that's real gentlemanly of you. I should have had an effect on it. But see, on a daily basis, these are things that we have to deal with. Let's learn to be humble, willing to prefer someone else, and not feel like it's my turn, I've got to do it. All right, let's go. Oh, I didn't finish, sorry. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continued, instant in prayer. So we want to be faithful to the Lord. Even in the little things, we want to show humility. Proverbs, somebody get Proverbs 16 and 19.
Spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
It's better. You know, when you divide the spoil, that means you're getting gain. Oh, I got this and I got that. But it's better to be humble than to even be able to have all the many things in life. So when we read the scripture over and over again, it challenges us to be humble and to, instead of being proud and instead of being arrogant, take the lowly way. You know, years ago, my mother used to say a little thing when we were children. She said, you take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and I'll get to whatever, Scotland before you. She used to say that, you know, like it's just a little rhyme for the children, but it makes an impression when you think about it. The other person takes the high road, and you take the low road, you're going to make progress before them in a sense. And it's not that you're trying to make progress, but that's the way life will work for us. Colossians 2 and 18 says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruded into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You can have a voluntary humility, and that will really get you nowhere with the Lord. You want to have a humility that's in our heart, not thinking of ourselves, not being puffed up, not thinking of that we know so much. Sometimes people think they got it all together. They think they know the right, the ins and outs of things. But the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to be puffed up. He wants us to have, when we know something, you know, even, and I know the ministers, we sometimes have to give advice. But even with that, we need to whisper a prayer and lean on the Lord to give us the words to say. Somebody come to me and they say, I want to talk to you. I whisper prayer to the Lord. We don't want to depend on our own wisdom. You know, sometime I know I'm 80 years old, so most people probably say, okay, you old, you got to know some stuff. But you know, I only know as God gives it to me. And so we can, even with age or with authority, we need to have a humble mind and lean on the Lord. I don't know all things. I can't solve this. Lord, help me to know your mind, what to do and how to say and how to help these people. Proverbs, I don't know if I gave that. I want to look at Acts 12 and 21 to 23. I have other things, scriptures, but I want to end these thoughts with this one example of a person taking the own pride, taking on people praising them and the effect it had on him. And it will have the same effect on us if we're not careful. We might not just die like they did, but we can die a spiritual death. Acts 12, 21 to 23.
And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, set upon his throne and made an oration unto the people. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost.
You know, we might not have it to come down on us like that, but if we allow ourselves to embrace, you know, pride or embrace the things, maybe somebody lifting you up, it's going to have effect and it's going to take us down eventually. Pray for me that I will be faithful unto the end.